It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is my podcast show. It's on the YouTube. It's on the podcast places. And you can come and listen to me talk about words and also try to be silly sometimes. And also stupid sometimes. That's how I roll. All right. The first word in this episode is equiv. E-Q-U-I-V. It's an abbreviation for equivalency and equivalent. And we're going to talk about those words in this episode. Here we go. The sound effect today is going to be wee-oo-wee-oo. The next word is equivalence. This is a noun from circa 1541. Equivalence. Yeah, say it's the same. Okay, 1A. The state or property of being equivalent, which is all about being equal and the same. If you are the same, you are in a state of equivalence. 1B, the relation holding between two statements if they are either both true or both false, so that to affirm one and to deny the other would result in a contradiction. Whoa. The relation holding between two statements, okay, we're talking about phrases that you can say, if they are either both true or both false, so that to affirm one and to deny the other would result in a contradiction. So I think I need to look up an example of like an equivalence statements, because so both are true and both are false. So let's say both are true. Does that mean that you say one is right but one is wrong? Then they are not in equivalence, because then you got a contradiction. You need both to be the same. An equivalence statement stipulates that the storage sequence of the entities whose name appear in the list and list. Oh, this is not help. That's something about something else. We've got, yeah, logic and mathematical statements. That's probably bit what we're talking about here. Logical equivalence. Oh, fun symbols and things. I'll put a link. This is the Wikipedia link for logical equivalence. That's probably what we're talking about. So yeah, I think you need both statements to be true or both to be false. Otherwise, they contradict each other, and we can't have any contradictions all up in here. Number two, a presentation of terms as equivalent, being equal. 3. Equality in metrical value of a regular foot and one in which there are substitutions. Do you have a regular foot? My foots are irregular. No, they're pretty regular, although my toes are pretty small. So this is, I think, talking about prose, poems, verse, those sorts of things. Equality in metrical value of a regular foot and one in which there are substitutions. So I think it's basically saying each line has the same amount of syllables. Maybe? Possibly? All right, that's it for equivalence, except for some more equivalence words. Weep, 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 boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Equivalence class, two words, noun from 1952. A set for which an equivalence relation holds between every pair of elements. A set for which an equivalence relation holds between every pair of elements. Are we literally talking about the elements on the periodic table? Those atoms? I'm not sure. It's confusing to me.
Wow, 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 wow.
Next is equivalence relation. And that was literally just mentioned in equivalence class, which said, I will read it for a third time, a set for which an equivalence relation holds between every pair of elements. So an equivalence relation is a noun from circa 1949, just 3 years earlier. A relation as equality, between elements of a set as the real numbers, that would be an example of the set, that is symmetric, reflexive, and transitive, and for any two elements, either holds or does not hold. So yeah, I don't think we're talking about literally the elements. There's I should memorize that song someday. So equivalence relation, there is a relation like equality. That would be an example of how they are related between elements and a set. So this example of the set is real numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and it goes on and on. So those are equal. They have a relationship between each other. It's symmetric, reflexive, transitive. That's the relationship. And for any of the two elements, that relationship either holds or it does not hold. It's either true or not true. I think that's the way you're supposed to look at this. So it's like what? You compare one and two, and are they symmetrical, reflexive, transitive? I don't know what this means. We're talking about the math world. I didn't get that far in math. Okay, that's equivalence relation related to equivalence class. Good job, class.
Wow, 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 wow.
Next is equivalency. Noun from 1535. Equivalency. Number one, the synonym is equivalence. It's the same thing. You put a Y at the end or not. Let's see. Number two is a level of achievement equivalent to completion of an educational or training program, as in a high school equivalency certificate. A high school equivalency certificate, which means that you did something equal to the other option, which was graduating high school. Is that was a level of achievement equivalent to completion of an educational or training program. Yeah, so if you went to high school, you got your high school diploma, that's one option. Option number two is not finishing high school, but doing one of these equivalency programs, which is like, you basically got the same education as you did in high school. The GED is something that I hear about, people talk about. Maybe there are other equivalency programs related to high school. I don't know. I just know the GED. So yeah, that's equivalency. Because it's all about being equal. Okay, here is equivalent with a T at the end. Adjective from the 15th century. One, equal in force, amount, or value. Also, equal in area or volume, but not superposable. Not superposable. As in the example, a square equivalent to a triangle. Now, how is a square equivalent to a triangle? Well, I guess they have, in this context, they have the same area. So if your square is 13 miles square, is that how? 13 miles squared, yeah. That's a hard number to deal with. But then also your triangle is also 13 miles square. So, you know, you got to figure out how big it's. They're the same area. That's how you figure it out. I don't know where I was going with that one, but they're not superposable, and I don't know what that means in talking about triangles and squares. But yeah, also equal in force, amount, or value, any one of those equivalent. Number 2A, like in signification or import. And I think that's basically about how important something is. That's just the shorter version. Import is short for important. Significant. How significant is something? How important is it? My podcast is not equivalent to many other podcasts out there. We are not the same in significance or import. And you can't export this podcast. 2B, having logical equivalence, as in equivalent statements. And that, of course, takes us all the way back to the second word, equivalence, where we were talking about these statements. Relation that holds statements if they are either true or both true or both false, so that to affirm one and to deny the other would result in a contradiction. Number, what are we on? 3. Corresponding or virtually identical, especially in effect or function. Virtually identical in effect or function. Yep, just they're the same. They're the same. That's what we're talking about. Just variations on the same thing. I think all of these definitions are equivalent. Number 4, this one is obsolete. Equal in might or authority. Strong, mighty, lots of authority and power. How do we don't use this? Okay. Number 5, having the same chemical combining capacity. The same chemical combining capacity, as in the example, equivalent quantities of two elements. That is probably talking about the elements on the periodic table. We got equivalent quantities of two elements. We got 38 hydrogen and 38 copper. Now you have the same number of those atoms, those elements, but their amount of electrons and protons and their weight and everything, that's not equivalent because those have different amounts, they have different numbers. So is it still equivalent? How are we dealing with this? Are we talking about the numbers or are we talking about the weight and all the other numbers that are factored into that? I don't know. You can figure that one out. Figure that out on your own. Number 6A, having the same solution set, as in equivalent equations. Those equations have the same solution set. There's a lot of, what's the word, onomatopoeia? There's a lot of words that have the same sounds today. Oh, what's that word? Spencer, think of that word. I don't think it's onomatopoeia. I mean, I think that's related, but I don't think that's the word I'm looking for. You know what I'm talking about. Number 6B, capable of being placed in one-to-one correspondence, as in equivalent sets. 6C. Now, I think all these six ones, number six, they might have to be doing with, they're talking about sets. So maybe these are sets in math again. 6C. Related by an equivalence relation. And yeah, we talked about equivalence relation before. That was talking about numbers or other sort of sets of things that are equal and equivalent to each other. Great. A synonym for the whole thing is the word same. That's it, just same. Things are the same. Equivalent is a noun. Equivalently is an adverb. So we're doing some things equivalently today. We're talking about the same. This is from the Latin verb aequivalere, which means to have equal power. And that's why number 4 was obsolete, because that was talking about the might, the authority, the power. So that's sort of the older way to talk about this word, equivalent power, equal power, same power. That word aequivalere is from the aequi prefix, which means equal, plus valere with a V, which means to be strong. And then there's more at the word wield, like I'm wielding my shield and my sword. Okay, that's it for that word.
Wah, 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 wah.
Next is equivalent weight, two words, noun from circa 1855. One definition here, the mass of a substance, especially in grams, that combines with or is chemically equivalent to 8 grams of oxygen or 1 gram of hydrogen. Also, the atomic or molecular weight divided by the valence. Now, this is Equivalent is talking about things being equal, but valence is a part of that word, equivalence. I don't remember what that means or how that's connected to this stuff, but it's probably something about power and equality and substance. I don't really know. But yes, equivalent weight. We're talking about the weight of things specifically in grams. It's interesting that we were specifically talking about oxygen and hydrogen, the mass of a substance, especially in grams, that combines with or is chemically equivalent to 8 grams of oxygen or 1 gram of hydrogen. And why are we comparing? Those are two totally different things. 8 grams of oxygen or 1 gram of hydrogen. Why is there a difference there? Something about the elements. I don't know. If you know chemistry, you got a good thought on what we're talking about here and why that is, please let me know. Also, the atomic or molecular weight divided by the valence. So you take the valence and you divide the thing and you'll have equivalent weight. I probably learned about this in chemistry class. I don't remember. That was a long, long time ago. I'm old. Wah, 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 wah. Equivocal. Adjective from 1599. 1a. Subject to two or more interpretations and usually used to mislead or confuse. People can confuse me very easily. As in the example, an equivocal statement. I want to reread this. A subject to two or more interpretations and usually used to mislead or confuse. So here's the thing about statements. They are always, always up for interpretation. Anything you say can be interpreted at least two or three ways, probably more, but I feel like there's always at least two or three ways that something can be interpreted. And I struggle with this a lot. For whatever reason, my brain thinks that when somebody says something to me, I'm thinking they mean this one thing, but they mean this other thing. And this is why I'm a big proponent of being really clear and specific with your words. So please do that. You got to be specific. You got to be clear. You can't just be like, put that thing over there. I'm like, well, okay, first of all, what thing and over where? I need you to point specifically this spot and this thing and put it over there. Okay, anyway, it's you need to be equivocal. Or no, maybe not. I don't know. Subject to two or more interpretations and usually used to mislead. But this is where we're talking about it being on purpose. You're trying to mislead or confuse on purpose. Now, people aren't doing that to me usually. Maybe sometimes, but no, I just wanted to say, things are very easily misinterpreted, so be careful with your words. 1b, uncertain as an indication or sign, as in equivocal evidence, uncertain as an indication or sign. This evidence, I don't know, it's uncertain. We can't make a decision based on the evidence that we have today in the court of law. So that's why it's equivocal. Okay. Number 2a, of certain nature or classification, as in equivocal shapes. Those shapes, we know the shapes that they are. We know that they're squares and triangles and octagons and nonagons and all those gons. So they are. No, but those would not be equivocal shapes because this says of uncertain nature or classification. Oh my God, we don't even know what that shape is. It's equivocal. That shape is equivocal because we don't know. We've never seen that shape before. Have you ever seen that shape before? What even is that shape? We can't. We don't know. It's equivocal. This word is confusing to me. 2b, of uncertain, here's uncertain again, uncertain disposition toward a person or thing. The synonym is undecided, as in an equivocal attitude. Equivocal attitude. I'm not ready to decide on what my attitude is today. We'll see how the day goes. uncertain disposition toward a person or thing. I feel mixed feelings about those things over there. So I'm equivocal. Have I ever heard this word before? Yes. Have I known what it meant? Probably not. I'm learning things here. Okay, let's see. What else we got? Number two, C. Of doubtful advantage, genuineness, or moral rectitude, as in equivocal behavior. Oh, their behavior has moral rectitude. It's doubtful genuineness. I'm not so sure if they're genuine with that behavior there. Or also doubtful advantage. Okay. Equivocal. I can't wait to get to the etymology. Yeah, we got a little etymology to talk about. A synonym is the word obscure. Okay, that's a good way to think of this. Obscure. I can't see. I can't understand. That's a good way to describe it. Okay. Equivocally is a noun. Equivocally is also an adverb. Right? Those are the same words. Oh, no, I think I read this wrong. Equivocality. Equivocality, that's the noun. Equivocally is an adverb. And equivocalness is a noun. Equivocalness. It's obscureness. Yeah, obscureness. How much equivocalness do you have? I have lots of equivocalness. I am very obscure. Okay. Interesting word. The etymology says this is from the Latin equivocus, V-O-C-U-S. This is the lower Latin equivocus, which is from the equi prefix plus woke or wokes, voc or vox. That means voice, and there's more at the word voice. So I am now, this word has become extra equivocal. Equivocal is equivocal to me, because how did we get from equal voice to obscure? What? Okay, I think I gotta put a link in the show notes for equivocal. The etymology. We need a little bit more information about the etymology of this one. Come on, help me out here. As I'm reading through these definitions, I'm thinking in my head the word unequivocal. Oh, that's unequivocal. That's, you know, solid. We know everything about that. That's unequivocal. But I never used the word equivocal. Okay, I'm gonna use it all the time now. You can't stop me. Wah, 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 wah. Next is equivocate. Equivocate. This is a verb from 1590. It looks like it is only intransitive. Number one, to use equivocal language, especially with intent to deceive. I'm equivocating you because I'm talking nonsense. I don't know. I'm not talking nonsense at the moment, but sometimes I might be talking nonsense, and I don't do it on purpose usually, but maybe sometimes. Equivocating. Okay, number two, to avoid committing oneself in what one says. Oh, yes, this is good. I like to do this, though. I don't want to make decisions. I want you to make the decisions for me. So I'm just not going to commit to anything. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. What do you think about that? Yeah, okay. Cool. Great. A synonym is the word lie, like the opposite of telling the truth. Lying. Equivocate is lie. Equivocation is a noun. Equivocator is also a noun. Equivocator is a liar. You dirty, dirty liar. Wow, 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 wow. Next is equivoke or equivoke, spelled either, the way that you could probably think of this is E-Q-U-I-V-O-K-E, but you can also spell it with a V-O-Q-U-E, equivoke, noun, from 1599. I think I see a pattern. I think I see this is going to be related to the other ones. Number one, an equivocal word or phrase. Specifically, the synonym is the specifically, which is the word pun. A pun is an equivoque because it's a word or a phrase that is equivocal, that's obscure, that's weird, that's non-committal. It's that. That's a good one. Pun. Okay. Puns are fun. 2A, double meaning. Double meaning, is that an equivoke? Is that just a phrase that is a double meaning? Just anything that has two meanings is equivoke. That's why things can be interpreted in all these ways. So if you do that on purpose, if you're like, see, if you think about it this way, it means this thing. If you think about it that way, it means this different thing. It's an equivoke. Number 2B, the synonym is wordplay. I like wordplay. I'm not great at it, but I like it. And sometimes my brain comes up with things and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even mean to do an equivoke, but I did an equivoke. The etymology, it's just from equivocal. That's all it is. Wah, 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 wah. Next is, now, let's see. I would say because it's ER. This is the beginning of the ER section. The pronunciation guide says you can say it what is this one? Is it ah? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You can say ah. Usually with a prolonged vowel. And also sometimes, not often, but sometimes people do say er. That's how it's spelled, er. Why is that a not common way to say it? I don't know. This is an interjection from 1862, and it says it's used to express hesitation. But, okay, yes. Usually people say which I would spell U-H. If it's or ah, that's U-H or A-H. I wouldn't spell that E-R. If it's spelled E-R, you'd pronounce it Yeah, and sometimes people say this, just, It's Wah, 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 wah. Next is capital E, lowercase r. This is the symbol for erbium. What's one of those elements? Maybe you can compare it to the weight of oxygen and hydrogen. I don't know. Last word, wah, 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 wah. It's ER, all caps, abbreviation for one, earned run. That's in baseball. Or also number 2, emergency room. There was that classic TV show called ER, which was based off of a play, I think, called ER, which I was in high school. I just played some dude who got punched in the face before we ever got on stage. We didn't do no stage combat. And yep, it was fun. Let's see. I got to pick up the word of the episode. That's where we're at. We had equivalence class, equivalence relation, equivalency, equivalent weight, equivocal, equivocate, equivoke, ER, and ER. I think I want to pick one of these equivocal words. I don't know, maybe equivoke, spelled with a Q-U-E, because it's a pun. Equivoke, you can't understand it, it's a double meaning, equivoke, boo boo. I don't know, that didn't make any sense, but it just is a fun thing to do. Okay, let's see. I need to talk about another movie that I watched, because that's what happens at the end of these episodes. Rustin, I think that's where I'm at. Rustin, didn't know anything about this guy, so I highly recommend this movie. Fantastic acting, fascinating story about the guy who was the planner for the amazing large civil disobedience. Oh, that's not the right. This was the event where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial. There's the little pond lake thing there, and the Washington Monument is on the other side. And they had, I don't know, over 100,000 people came, maybe even close to 200,000. And there's a lot of planning that needs to go into something like that. And there were a lot of people who didn't want it to happen. And so it's the whole story of this guy who also just happens to be gay in the 60s. And that's a whole other level to this story. Rustin. Go watch it. This is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening and watching. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.
How Did This Not Get Made is a podcast all about the films and TV shows that never got made. In this podcast, we uncover the history of these intellectual properties and walk you through the plot of these unmade scripts to determine if they would have been great or awful. Here's just a few other titles that we've covered. The Beatles' Lord of the Rings, James Cameron's Spider-Man, Guillermo del Toro's Haunted Mansion, Star Wars' Duel of the Fates, Superman Lives starring Nicolas Cage, James Gunn's R-rated Scooby-Doo, and Alejandro Jodorowsky's Dune, just to name a few. Episodes of How Did This Not Get Made can be found wherever you get your podcasts.